on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounce.
Well, hello and beautiful Sunday morning to you. I'm Reverend Tommy Mounce. It is good to come to your homes on this beautiful Sunday morning. And this is the day the Lord has made. The Bible said we can and we will rejoice and be glad therein. I'm so glad you tuned my way this morning that we might magnify the Lord together. Well, let's get right into our broadcast this morning by doing this song for you here. I put this on tape several years ago, and this one says, Call Me Gone.
Call me a dreamer, 'cause I call it mine. Heaven, I don't care. Call me crazy, for I'm so homesick for it. Yet I have never been there. Call me a stranger, 'cause that's all I am. I know I don't belong. Call me anything, but when he calls me, call me gone. Yes, call me gone. I'll be leaving. Call me gone. You'll be grieving if you're left here without Jesus to call on. Just call me gone. There's no more heartache. Smart just wasn't one of them. But I was smart enough one day to let Jesus Christ become the Lord of my life, and I called it quits to a whole lot of sinning. And because of that commitment, well, some folks think I'm funny, they laugh, call me foolish, but let them go ahead and laugh. Because you see, that don't really bother me at all. For even a fool can see the shape this world's in, she's just about to fall. But as long as I let Jesus call the shots, why, I got nothing to worry about. And when that roll is called up yonder, don't you call me, 'cause I'll not be here, because I'm going to be gone. Just call me gone. Oh, I'll be leaving. Call me gone. You'll be grieving if you're left here without
going to go home to be with the Lord. I'm in no hurry to go now, but I'm ready to go, and that means a lot to me, and it can mean a lot to you to know that if you close your eyes tonight and go to bed at night, then it's all well with your soul, and I'm so glad for that, and I believe you can know that. I believe you can know you've passed from death unto life. I think you can. There's no ifs and buts or ands about it. If you confess your sin, God said he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin, and God's will never fail you. So I'm glad for that this morning. I appreciate you. We got a lot of people out there who need your prayers. Doris Neely needs your prayers, and Martha needs your prayers. And then Keely Faith, that's my great-granddaughter. She's had a couple of minor surgeries, and she needs your prayers. And my family, my whole entire family needs your prayers. So I want you to stand with us. Together we stand, but divided we'll fall. So let's go right now and listen to this song, and I think you're going to enjoy this one also. This one said, I thirst.
One day I came to him, I was so thirsty. I asked for water, my soul was so dry. He gave me water I had never dreamed of. But for this water, my Lord had to die. He said, I thirst, yet he made the river. He said, I thirst, yet he made the sea. I thirst, cried the King of all ages. In his great thirst, he brought water. There's a river that flows as clear as crystal. It comes from God, His throne above. And like the river that it dwells up inside me, bringing mercy and a life-giving love. He said, I thirst, yet he made the river. He said, I thirst, yet he made.
Died at Calvary. The blood was shed for my sins and your sin. And he did. He cried, I thirst. And he, they gave him a sponge, but it was with bitter gall, but he refused that. He hung there in agony. And I, you know, I always preach it like this. His hands were stretched out, and he just pulled the whole entire world to him. And that's what he did at Calvary. He did it just for you. And did it just for me. Well, let's go now and listen as Martha does this song. And a lot of people, excuse me, a lot of people have requested this song. And I'm going to play it for you. And Martha says, who put the tears in the eyes of the Lamb?
And the hood of the nail. by him, but he was in his father's will. As he hung there in silence, or fade in the balance, I think by tears in my father's eyes. And who put the tears in the eyes of lambs? Who plowed the head with thorns till it bled of the great I
chapter 26, and begin to read in verse 24. And as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, for whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believe thou the prophet. I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian. I want to talk about what does it mean to be almost persuaded to be a Christian. That's a startling statement, isn't it? Even so, many find today, and that's hard to believe, that you can be almost a Christian. You think for that just for a moment. What is implied by almost? Would it not be better to be altogether a Christian? What is meant? I'm almost persuaded to be a Christian. Well, let's be honest with ourselves. Paul was taught by the law, and he lived by the law. But Paul knew and lived by the law. Paul in the day of time would have been called a good man. A good man has to be saved. I don't care how good you are. I don't care if you go to church every Sunday morning. You've been baptized and you've made your confession of faith. But still, you're almost a Christian. You give of your tithes. You are very faithful to the church. You do everything that a church member is supposed to do. You're still unsaved. I remember many times I think about this. I'm not going to call any names, but I had a gentleman came to my church when I was pastoring Beckley, and he was so faithful to the church. He was always first there and last to leave. He'd always say, Pastor, if there's anything at all I can do, you let me know. Well, I was startled one day when someone came to me and said, well, Pastor, I want you to pray hard for him because he's not a Christian. Well, you would have called him almost a Christian. Being in the house of God, paying your tithes, and being faithful in the house of God, that's what almost being a Christian is. If you don't want to be a Christian, stay out of the house of God. Because if you stay there, people are going to pray you in, and they're not going to quit praying until you get in. So I began to pray for this man, and I asked him one day, I said, sir, I understand you're not a Christian. No, he said, I just can't grasp what a Christian really is. And I told the story of how I was saved on a sidewalk in Virginia one one night going home after closing an establishment, and God spoke to my heart, and I committed my life to Christ right there on the sidewalks of Virginia. Well, this gentleman woke up early in the morning, and he called me the next day. He said, "Tommy, it works." I said, "What are you talking about? It works." He said, "You can be saved the minute that you confess Christ as a personal Savior." And he said, "I was awoken this morning at 2 o'clock this morning. Something woke me up, and God asked me, 'Did you want to be a Christian?' And I said, 'Yes, I want to be a Christian.' What manner of life from my youth, which I was first among my own nation at Jerusalem, the rich young ruler, he was good, but lost. A manner of his life, he was good. He gave of his tithes. He said, 'Good master, what must I do to inherit salvation?'" A lot of people are messed up on that. They think you can inherit salvation. Salvation is a free gift of God. You can't inherit it from grandma or grandpa. You can be a good man and be lost. But this man came to Christ and said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal salvation?" Well, first of all, it can't be inherited. He said, "Well, I love my neighbor," but he was still lost. And he said, "I steal from no man," but he's still lost. "All these I have kept from my youth," but he was lost. Jesus said, "You saw me hungry, and you fed me not. You saw me naked, and you clothed me not. I was sick, and you tended not to my needs. If you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." You see, you don't have to neglect these things just to be lost. But we are born lost. When we come to age of accountability, I don't know where that age is at, but there is an age of accountability. And we come to that age, and God calls us, and the Holy Spirit is drawing us to God. That's when we have to confess our sin, and then He is faithful and just forgive us for our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The second thing that being almost a Christian implies a form of godliness. And in this day and time we live in, when men have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Paul explains how he had a form of godliness on that road to Damascus when the light shone and he was knocked from his horse, knocked to the ground. He said, "Jesus," and he called out to Christ, and he said he was blind for 3 days and three nights. He was totally blind, but God knocked him off his high horse. And you know, God can knock you off your high horse. You may be a godly person, but Paul explains how he had a form of godliness in 2 Timothy 3:1-5, denying the power thereof. You see, without the power of God, you can't be saved. The power of God changes your life. Conversion is a complete turnaround. Conversion is completely turned away from yourself and turning to God Almighty. Paul had a born-again experience on the road to Damascus, and he was quick to talk about it. Every time you would find him, Paul was talking about his conversion. And he said, "I am now a slave to Christ." He felt that he was a slave to Christ. He was forbidden to live in the law. He had to move from the law to grace of God. And you can't live under the law, my friend. Paul's life has touched the people and helped to change the life of many after he himself was persuaded to be a Christian. But you see, Paul was persuaded on the road to Damascus that he was wrong. And you can be persuaded that you're wrong. You can be absolutely right and be absolutely wrong. If you're fighting against the presence of God and the will of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, God can change that. And you can be under conviction and fight against God's love and God's power. But listen to what Paul said. Paul's life has touched and helped to change the life of many after he himself was persuaded to be a Christian on the road to Damascus? Are you only almost a Christian? Have I dug into where you're living this morning? Are you almost a Christian? Or can you say, yes, I know Christ is a personal Savior? I remember a story of a young boy. This young boy was bedfast, and he would cry and complain. And his nursemaid took him out of the bed one night and took him over to the window, threw open the curtains, raised the window, and told him, said, Billy, look out there. And he said, what do you see? He said, well, I see the streetlights, and I see people walking up and down on the street. She said, yes, and a lot of those people are lost. A lot of those people are hurting, but you know Christ. And you know, after that, that boy quit his grumbling, he quit his complaining, and accepted Christ as a personal Savior. Are you altogether a Christian? Hey, that is a very important question to be asked in our life. Are we almost a Christian? Hey, Felix cried out with a loud voice, Agrippa did, rather, and said, almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian. And today, I trust that I have persuaded you to be a Christian. I hope that you're not living in the church, but living for yourself. You've been living for God. Now you are now a Christian, and a Christian is turned around. Their life is turned around, and now you're going in another direction. I trust today that you'll let Christ become the reality in your life, and you can cheerfully say, hey, now I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am a born-again child of God.
I came from Galilee, a carpenter by trade. He came to build his father's church on plans they had made. His destiny was Calvary, his mission will not fail. He will build a church on a rugged cross with three old rusty nails. This church is still standing, and it will never fall. But stand. Anything that it takes to be the church that will stand strong when this whole world begins to shake. Now fool may build this building tall, but it will be so frail compared to the church that Jesus built.
He built the church on a rugged cross and three old rusty nails. Well, let's not forget the internet now. You can go into my webpage, and a lot of people have turning that in, tuning that in, and get all these songs that we play on the broadcast every Sunday morning. We got a whole list of songs and sermons, and I'd like for you to pull it up. It's all you got to do is type in any internet, and you can go on your cell phone or go to your internet and type in www.stbi.org. Again, that's stbi.org. And you can pull up Tommy Mount's radio ministry, and we got a lot of songs in there, and we got sermons in there, and well, what you hear on the broadcast, you can hear on internet. So, and we're worldwide. That's amazing. And I appreciate Daryl Olson out in Arizona. He's my web server. And Dana Olson, who is a doctor over in Princeton, and they take care of our web page. So I don't want to say too much more about that, but you can pull it up at S. All you got to do is type in stbi.org, and it can take you to Tommy Mount's ministry, and you can open it up to anything that you want. We have pictures in there of people at the Linside Church, the Dropping Lick Church, and well, just you need to go in and view it. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this broadcast. We thank you for the people who have prayed and paid and stood with me faithfully. Lord, I couldn't make it without them, and you know that. We've been on this air a long time. And Lord, you have provided and made a way where there seemeth to be no way. And as long as the people support, we'll continue to preach your gospel. We thank you for your gospel. We love the message that you give us, and we love to preach it. But Lord, we're tired and we're weary in our body, but we're uplifted in our spirit this morning. So I pray for all that you have laid on my heart, and you know who they are. So I ask you in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Don't forget this week, neighbor, will be, well, Thanksgiving's coming up. We want to have the turkey and the dinner and have it. We're going to be going over to with Martha, and me and my family will be going over there with them at Health Care Center, and they're going to be serving a Thanksgiving dinner over there. So we'll be going over there with Martha, and you continue to pray for Martha. Pray for all that, well, pray for one another according to the Bible. Well, I got to get out of here, so goodbye, be good, and may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at this same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering, as your giving makes it possible for Something to Believe In to continue on this and other stations. Today's broadcast and or music tapes by Tommy and Martha are available by request. Simply include your request along with your offering when writing to Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC 80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.